Check 1 2 1 2, bitch. What up? What up? What the fuck is up, people?
What up?
This is episode 293 of the most consistent podcast in the year. We are.
Give me a hell yeah!
Logical Sense, this is your boy, Buzz B.
And over here, it's your boy, JC No Honey.
How the flick are you doing, good sir?
I'm chilling, man. Weekend was lit. It was a nice sports weekend.
That it was.
Yeah, I was highly impressed. Make a round of applause for sports in general. This is what it's all about. Sports, baby.
All types of sports. Basketball, yeah. XFL, wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good weekend for wrestling. I mean, not just wrestling, but sports. Like, you're right.
Yeah, I was definitely one of those all-timers. I wouldn't be surprised if... ESPN does some follow-up documentary like 10 years from now.
Yeah, there was a lot of shit that happened like this past weekend. And on Sunday, it was Dreamville. I forgot the Dreamville Fest was this weekend,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Usher opened up and headlined Saturday night, and then it was Cole and Drake Sunday night headlining.
Yeah, I watched the Drake and J. Cole one. No, it was cool. It was dope to see both of them on stage and shit like that.
I saw some highlights. I liked what I saw.
Yeah, it was pretty good, but I didn't watch that shit because it was WrestleMania, baby.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
Thought you were going to say, give me a hell yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
There you go. WrestleMania 39, which took place in Inglewood at the SoFi Center, was this past weekend, two-night event. And I was... How's the best way to say this? Night one, I was very entertained. I was very happy. I'm gonna say I was gonna go
good night one.
We had a good night one. Probably that's gonna go down as one of the best, by far one of the best WrestleManias ever. Because you came late, so you know I would go down the whole card. There was 14 matches.
But yeah, it was top three.
Top three for night one or just night two or all of them. No. Night one, by far, it was Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. That match was number one on my list. My God, you watched that match with us.
That's what I'm saying. Just go down the list and then recap them.
Okay, well, that match and number two was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos. Those were my top two matches for night one. And yeah, those both of them, the women and the men, that was by far one of the best matches I've seen this year. It was amazing. It was what I love about wrestling. It was just chef's kiss, especially Rhea and Charlotte. That was amazing.
Yeah, Rhea and Charlotte, I enjoyed that one. That was really good. Of course, Usos versus Sammy and Kevin Owens, man. That was just excellence. and then of course you had the Joe Jackson special. Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio, and that was just
the entrances on
fuckery and entertainment on all accounts.
Sponsored by Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yes. And that, my philosophy on that is Cinnamon Toast Crunch's tagline was, your family fucked up? It's okay. Fix it with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
This was by far the most sponsored WrestleMania I've ever seen. It was the most corporate. There were so many commercials and sponsored matches. I was like, bruh, what?
Yeah.
I was like, this is different, but I'm like, I get it. You got to get that bag. It's more corporate. And I was like, they've been needing to do this shit for years. So fuck it. I'm for it, but it is what it is type of shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
The women's match was just pure. Oh my gosh.
See, amazing. At first it went slow because we were just like, man, I don't know what's going on. But then DDT.
Yeah, so it slowly started building where it was like, okay, I'm on my phone. Then I'm looking, I'm like, oh, that was a nice move. And then they did another move, and I was like, oh, okay. And then, and then finally just got to the point where I was like, yo, kill these motherfuckers. Let's do this. Kill these
bitches. No, it got to the point where I'm just looking at it. When they started with Charlotte, was like, you want a BB? You want a BB, bitch? And they just start slugging each other. And you heard me. I was just like, oh, these bitches going ham right now. This is some good shit. Like, they were fighting. Charlotte fell right on her face and shit. Like, yep. That, man, Charlotte is her daddy. Like, there was times I looked, I was like, oh, that's Rick. Oh, that is Ric Flair's daughter. That oh my God, that was beautiful.
Yeah, she owned the moment there.
Yeah, that was that, you know, when I noticed when the match was picking up, I'm like, oh, Charlotte and Rhea, it was like that LeBron stare. That's what they're doing right now. Because they were supposed to main event night one, but their story didn't have the juice like that, and Charlotte was pissed. And she was like, oh, I'm pussy? Okay. And after she lost the match, because Rhea Ripley won. When Rhea Ripley won, Charlotte was just outside smiling because she was just like, yeah, we stole the show. Follow that.
Right. Yeah, no, those three for sure stood out the most. I guess honorable mention would definitely have to be Seth versus Logan. I remember. I looked at you and Edgar, and I was like, what the fuck am I watching right now? What's happening? And then you were telling me, you're like, this shit pisses me off because Logan actually looks like he belongs. This shit's fucking wild.
And then you watched it and you were just like, wow, he could actually go.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. And then the energy drink guy came out and I was like,
KSI,
whatever his name is. His brother, or that's somebody, that's the black dude that he's been running around with. Sure enough, he pulled that mask off. That whole motherfucker, it's me, Austin.
Me, niggas. It's me, nigga.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Give me a hell, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was Saturday night. Saturday, I got to give a strong round of applause for Saturday night. Saturday night, it was, that definitely restored the feeling.
Yeah. Oh, you missed John. Oh, I forgot to tell you this part.
I saw the highlight with John Cena. He ran out with all the Make-A-Wish Foundation kids. And then got his ass whooped in front of all of them. And I was like, damn, man.
Nah, but it wasn't just that. You should have saw his bald spot on his hair. Me and Edgar saw that. Like, yeah. No, me and Edgar saw that. And at first, I was just like, ain't that. Edgar was like, oh, goddamn, guy. And I was just like, oh, it ain't that bad. Then I looked up, and I'm like, God damn. He had a dad bod, too. He didn't look like he wasn't built like a brick. I'm like, oh, yeah, he did this as a favor. That match. But, yeah. Now,
Sunday night, your top three.
Well, I don't think it was a top three. There was only two matches I liked. There was, three. One's an honorable mention. It's an honorable mention.
There's your three.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Number one was the triple threat match between Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, and Gunther, even though his name's Walter.
Yes.
Waiting, baby.
Oh, they was getting their jacket, that one.
Their chests were red as a motherfucker. That was white on white on white crime I live for.
they was in their bag with that one. That was definitely in my top three.
Then the second one was Bianca Belair and Asuka. That was a great match.
Absolutely.
Shouts
out to the, what was it, the Compton girls? The
Compton Divas.
The Divas of Compton.
The Divas of Compton. Now, I don't know if you know about this, but you know that little girl.
I watched the press conference.
Oh, wow. You watched the press conference. Oh, okay. Yeah, the little girls, if y'all don't know, the little girl, she did some gymnastic shit, some contortionist shit, and she found out that day that her mother passed away. Yeah. I was like, damn. And she still went out there and did that shit.
She was terminally ill, right?
I don't know. I didn't really go look into it, but yeah.
I think she was terminally ill. I don't think it was, like an accident or anything like that. I think
because Triple H was really emotional. Yeah. And he had a right to be emotional about that. Right. He had to cover his ass because of the fucking main event. So.
Yeah. One shout out I got to give real quick is I got to give another shout out to Seth Rollins. He was the perfect stage. He was the perfect stage dad. Good job, ladies. Good job, ladies. You stole the show. Good job, ladies. It's like, how do you hate this motherfucker, man? Seth Rollins is that dude.
No, you should have saw when he had the jacket on and Becky Lynch was his wife. She saw the jacket and he's like, I told you, it is nuts. And she was like, that's not fucking fair. I want to wear that. When he came out in that big ass coat looking like Rihanna, I was like, this nigga. Then he took it off looking like Prince. Oh, Elton John. I'm like, what are you wearing, my guy? No, when you saw the highlights and you saw him give the curb stomp and those red boots.
Yeah. I was like, wait, he got the boots too?
I didn't think you caught that. And I was like, wait a minute, did I just see that shit?
Yeah, I saw that shit. I wish I could have added Edge versus the Demon Finn Balor. I wish I could have added it. You know me. I am Mr. Hell in a Cell. That's what I like that shit. And in the words of Kevin Garnett in Uncut Gems, why the fuck would you show me that shit if I couldn't have it then?
Because he lost. I wanted to like that match, man, but Edge is old. Edge is just fucking old, man. Yeah. And the Hell in a Cell, the thing about what Triple H tried to do, he tried to make the Hell in a Cell matter again because there was a pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell and it just lost its merit. And this feud has went on for so long. But after you see Undertaker and Mick Foley, after you see that, man, it set the standards too high and they tried. So I'll give him that. They tried. Shout out to Finn for still continuing the match because when Edge threw the ladder at him, it put a gash in his head. I don't know if you saw that photo.
Yep, I saw
Finn Balor. Yeah, yep. Man, they had to staple his fucking head, and that's why they paused because they paused the match and shit like that. So they had to put staples in his head. Right, that's some gangster shit. Fuck, even though he was looking like a baller when he was trying to help out Tommy. Yeah, see, I'm trying to stall because I don't want. Okay, let's just get there. Let's go. The main event. This really felt like a big fight feel with you Roman Reigns.
You didn't like but I enjoyed it.
No, I'm talking about the match. The match itself was great. I was on the edge of my seat. Me and Edgar were pacing back and forth because it was just like, are you guys going to give Cody the belt? Are you going to give him his moment? Because this nigga Roman Reigns has had the belt for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Are you? This is good. I told Edgar, this is a very important match because this is going to pave the way for Triple H's legacy. This is going to pave the way for what's to come.
Right.
Spear. 1, 2, 3. What? My jaw dropped. I'm like, these niggas, they really did that. And I'm telling you, Cody Rhodes was the hottest thing coming in. He was the ultimate babyface. And that nigga Roman Reigns won. And it was the biggest, like, oh my God, they really did this shit.
Bloodline, motherfucker. Bloodline, motherfucker. This is why, bees, nigga, bees.
Bees, no, they put the ones up because they're the ones.
Well, over here, we throw bees, okay?
Yeah. You know, sometimes they can walk around wearing red because they ain't going to get checked in. You think they checked in L.A.? Hell nah, nigga. Hey, Samoans.
There's a Twitter thread that said, Samoans legitimately the only niggas that can say nigga, ain't nobody going to check them. Somebody was like, you know, that ain't me. I'm checking everybody. Somebody was like, you really going to check a Samoan nigga?
You really going to check Roman Reigns and the Usos and Solo? Yeah, shocked when I told you that that's Rikishi's sons, the Usos. You're like,
yeah, all these years you never told me. Well, yeah, I'm a casual, so I don't be looking into anything. And all these years
you didn't say one word. I could have sworn I told you.
I would have remembered that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you looked it up and you're like, wait a minute. Naomi's married to him.
Yeah. I started looking through it. I'm like, you didn't say anything about this over these last 3 years when I was coming over to watch. What's wrong? Like, you, some host you are.
You didn't come with
no program. You had no programs to let me know what was going on. It was just like, oh, yeah, that happens. And I was like, okay. So let me go research my damn self.
I could have swore I told you that. Well, maybe not. Or who knows? Maybe because I'm so used to just seeing them. So I was like, eh.
But anyway. Yeah, remember, I don't watch all this every single day. This is homecoming for me. So yeah. I want Roman Reigns to get to 1,000 days. I was cool with everything. The match itself was fire. Paul Heyman is Paul Heyman. He the GOAT.
Yeah.
Usos did their thing. I like to call him Young Solo Ho.
Young Solo. Young Solo, Solo Sikoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Solo, yeah, that's a brother too. He looks more like Rikishi. Yeah.
Yeah. I was good with it. And this is the benefit of being a casual fan and the homecoming returner. Because I'm not in, I have no attachment invested to this bullshit. So I saw you was upset, and I was like, well,
sucks for you. It's always AEW. For me, like, okay. I'm trying to break this down in layman's terms for everyone to understand why this was just like, what the fuck? Because they built the storyline up for a good 6 months. And it was literally led to believe because there was nobody else for Roman Reigns to go up against. Because he beaten everybody, because Vince booked this nigga to beat everybody. So when Vince was gone and Triple H had the power, we were led to believe that Cody Rhodes was going to be the one to take out Roman. It was like everything was just perfect in Hollywood, everything. And then that nigga lost. And the way he lost, it was just like, wait, what? Interference, this, that, 1, 2, 3, the end. And right, everybody was shocked. It was legit a shocking moment, because I'm like, you guys didn't pull the trigger. You let the villain win. And then I just sat back, and even when the fireworks went off, I'm like, y'all niggas really did that shit. Because I was just thinking, if I was a child, right, and I looked up to Cody Rhodes and then he lost, I'm like, how would I have felt if Austin lost to Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 14? Or if the who else lost? Or if fucking Shawn Michaels didn't win the championship against the villain? Like, how would I'm like, damn, I would never believe in Austin again.
Like, you root for the villain, man. You root for the bad guy.
Well, speaking of the bad guy, yeah, Vince McMahon is back.
Oh, surprise. No, we're not skipping over. We're not skipping over the greatest moment. Stop that bullshit. No, Nasty, yeah, you want
to
skip over.
Before we get to that, Nasty, man.
I am taking over for this one then. The greatest moment of the entire WrestleMania weekend. I am gunshot for this motherfucker, man.
Waiting, baby.
So of course Snoop Dogg, with it being in Inglewood, Snoop Dogg was there and he was working.
He was the godfather of WrestleMania. Man, that's what they called him.
He was everywhere when he went there. When it came to Rey Mysterio's entrance,
that was Cheetah Steele
and the Lowrider. Snoop was driving, dropped him off, and he was just active all the entire weekend. But the one moment where you just cannot. This is probably an all-timer WrestleMania moment.
For
they called out Shane O'Mac, and I said, "Oh my!" I jumped up, and I was like, "Shane here, is he gonna sacrifice himself for our sins again?"
You tweeted it,
and lo and behold, this man lasted 30 seconds. He kept jumping, and it was like, Shane, don't do it. You know, I was watching. I sound like Mario during the verses, telling Jeremiah, "Don't do it, Jay. Don't do it. Don't do it, Shane. Stop doing that." And this motherfucker jumped up one too many times, and that ACL.
He tried to get up, and then he just.
Knee. I got to walk him through, because his knee gave out and he fell. But then he had the bright idea. He was like, "No, I'm good. I'm okay." And he got up, and his knee was like, "I told your ass sit down.
I told you ass lay down."
And this nigga 50-something years old. Back up, and he rolled back over, and it was just like, "Damn!" And it got silent for a second because you knew this wasn't scripted, because Miz kept looking like
and the camera zoomed in on Miz. Yeah,
like, what am I supposed to do? And out of nowhere, Snoop with one of the greatest lines ever. Damn, you really just going hit my boy like that, cuz?
He's like, "Are you right?" He gets in the ring with the mic. He's like, "Are you all right, cuz? You gonna hit my boy like that, cuz? I'm outside, you inside. You gonna hit my boy like that, cuz?"
And Snoop took it upon himself, and I had to remind people, this is the same man that freestyled the Shiznit and G's and Hustlers, so he not new to this. And all of a sudden, he took his fist and just binged the Miz.
And you gonna do like a boy like that, cuz?
I knew none of this was scripted, because when he hit him, he stared at him for almost 30 seconds before he decided, "I'm gonna do the death row elbow."
Fun fact, the referee told him people's elbow, do the people's elbow. So then he just does, he gets Miz, takes off his Gucci glasses, and you know who he threw it to? He threw it to Swizz Beatz. Swizz Beatz caught it. That's why he threw it, because he knew Swizz Beatz caught it. And then he ran the ropes.
The funniest rope run I have ever seen in my life. He ran up on them ropes like, I'm going to do it. But you know I'm in my 50s. I ain't doing this shit for real.
And then he did the elbow drop, and he did it in super slow motion, and he just went, boom! When I tell you people that I was laughing my ass off, Edgar was sitting there like, what did I just watch right now? Like, why are you laughing? Edgar was like, why are you laughing, guy? He got injured. Then you called me, because I knew exactly why you were calling me. And me and JC proceeded to laugh our asses off. My stomach was...
Yeah. Powerful niggardry at work, Henry.
My stomach was hurting. I was coughing. I wanted to rewind it, because I was like... Oh shit, the way Snoop just improvised just made that shit hilarious.
Bro, the only thing that could have made that even better is if for somehow, some way, Paul Walker made it and survived, and he said forget about it.
The Snoop improvising that was just
mwah. yeah. I gotta say, Bad Bunny's involvement with all this, it really made me think, and I had to think about this. Bad Bunny is arguably possibly the top selling recording artist in the entire industry right now.
In the world, Craig.
And when they call him, he's like, oh no, I gotta put my career on hold. The W needs me. Who else could you have seen done this at their height? Because I'm looking at it like, damn, could you imagine if 50 Cent was as big of a wrestling fan? Could you imagine G-Unit as a stable in the WWE going up against John Cena?
You had Master P, the No Limit Soldiers.
No, of course you did. But what I'm talking about is as you were explaining to me a couple years ago when I was watching, Bad Bunny fully immersed himself in this shit. So it wasn't just a, hey, we just stopping in. And I'm talking about, what if an artist at the peak of their career was as dedicated to this? And I came with two people in mind. It was either going to be 50 Cent or it was going to be Eminem.
I literally thought about that. Those two specifically.
Eminem
and 50 Cent, though. Yeah, though, they would have been perfect. M has the look of a wrestler. 50 right. has the look of a wrestler. If 50 really gave, oh man, they would have made a lot of money if 50 Cent decided to really emerge himself in this wrestling shit. Oh yeah.
Because Bad Bunny. I thought of one rapper in today's climate. He ain't the most popular nowadays, but just a few years ago, he had the strongest buzz. I said, what if DaBaby was a big WWE fan?
DaBaby could fit in WWE.
Everybody anyways.
He would have been perfect for WWE. I can literally see him in WWE, to be honest. Or AEW. Yeah, he would have been perfect. He is perfect. Yeah. He would have been like New Jack. Give me a hell, yeah. Yeah, y'all do your research on New Jack. Rest in peace. But, yeah. Yeah, 50-50 and M, they would have been perfect. But nah, it's still wild to me that Bad Bunny really is like the top, like, pop artist, and he loves WWE. Like, loves it. And it's just wild. Like, you go to the bar and you hear his music. You watch, you look on award shows, he's there. And then you turn on Raw, there he is getting slammed into a fucking table.
I think at this point, Bad Bunny has done what it took Snoop a while to, because when Snoop came out, of course, the climate of hip hop was a different entrance into climate. Mm-hmm. But because music is so integral and you can mesh genres now, Bad Bunny has taken the Snoop Dogg route, where Bad Bunny's like, I've done everything that I want to do in life. So I'm just going to do side missions for the rest of my life now.
I mean, at this point, they're about to do Backlash in Puerto Rico, and he's hosting this shit, and he's most likely going to be in a match. Like, right. He's most likely going to be doing a match. He's going to be doing Coachella. Then he's going to be, people say, oh shit, Bad Bunny might have to back out of Coachella now for getting slammed in the table. And you had Michael, you had them, you had Corey Graves going like, we have to apologize to all of Bad Bunny's fans.
He said, I got some Latin lovers. I am not going to be held responsible for what this company does. It ain't going to let you mess my bed up.
Yeah. Nah, man. But yeah, the whole reason why that shit happened is because he interfered during the Dominique and Rey Mysterio match and shit. Oh, shout out to Rey Mysterio. He's in the Hall of Fame right now.
Yeah.
Just a few years ago, we saw my Wally Mania. Now he's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He went against his own son. He went against his own son. I still can't believe that shit.
Joe Jackson special. That was a cinnamon toast crunch.
He was looking like Captain Crunch, too. Yeah.
Dominic, you ate all my cereal. Go get a switch.
Get a switch. You go get it. Right. Right. Yeah, that doesn't sound
cinnamon toast crunch at a store near you.
Get a switch. I mean, he did beat his ass with a belt. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, like when you were watching,
you start talking to your mama, you throw the drink on your sister. I mean, I knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming.
Nah, when you saw the fucking montage of everything, it looked like power. You're like, this ain't power. Then you kept watching. Yeah, this is power. When he gets arrested, I ain't gonna make it in jail.
You keep hitting me up, I'm not gonna make it. And then rode all that energy and got escorted in by a squad car and the fake polices.
No, it was hilarious because in storyline, he was only in jail for like a day. He got bailed out, but he just kept running with it.
Right.
Oh, comedy. Man. That was some good shit, man. That makes me happy. Now let's get sad. So, Vince McMahon. Well, there was stories about Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Somebody did this.
So last year, we talked about how Vince McMahon retired and he with all the sexual allegations and shit like that. Well, long story short, he paid all the women off to shut the fuck up. He destroyed the board of directors. He destroyed the board of directors and re-imaged it in his own image. That's another yuck. He took control of the board. He re-employed himself.
Yeah, man, he's like Succession.
It is. It is. I keep telling you. He re-employed himself. And Stephanie McMahon, who was the co-CEO, she stepped down because she knew shit was about to get bad. Triple H is still the head of creative. And he kept, and everyone kept, the wrestlers kept saying, like, something's going on. Like, this sounds fishy. And Vince literally just told the FCC and everybody, I'm only here just to facilitate a sale. I'm not going to be creative. I'm just going to be in the background. But then, little by little, wrestlers were having this feeling like, this motherfucker is like, he's still running shit. And they kept saying, like, no, that's not true. Even the create, like, people were telling all the scoopers, like, no, it's not true, blah, 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 blah. Then he started making his way in public, and he started coming out in public during WrestleMania weekend. This nigga got a whole ass mustache looking like Gomez Adams. What did you call him, JC?
That's Vicente McMahon. Vicente McMahon.
Nah, that nigga looks like Hitler, dog. Like, shit.
Nah, he looks Cuban. He look Cuban or Dominican. He don't look like he's German.
No, apparently he went on vacation. He went to Italy, supposedly, after when the whole allegations came out. So that boy went out and fucked some bitches, grew a mustache, and went, I look good. I'm gonna keep this. Gotta make me look hit. Dyed his hair and shit so he can look young. But anyway, yeah. Long story short, he's back in power, and he facilitated a sale. So there was rumors that the Saudis were gonna buy them. There was rumors that Disney or Netflix was gonna buy them. But no. After WrestleMania weekend, when it all wrapped up, it was announced that they have a buyer. Well, it's not even a buyer. They have. What's the word for it? Not required. they have joined UFC. Like they Endeavor merged. Has emerged.
Well, not emerged. They merged.
They merged with Endeavor, yeah. And now WWE and UFC are under the same umbrella.
That's
and
amazing.
That is a waiting, baby. Major move when you factor in, oh, these UFC niggas. Mm-hmm. They can now just run up and do a quick 3 months and then get back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and or people within WWE, if they want to go to UFC, they can go straight to UFC. And pretty much the power structure is Arya Amani, who's like the head of Endeavor, and Vince McMahon, he's the executive board member or whatever, so I guess he's going to be running WWE. Nick Khan, he's going to be the, I guess, president of wrestling promotions. Triple H is still head of creative. And what's his name? Who's the guy? Dana White's still going to run UFC. Like, pretty much, Dana White has no control over that shit. So Dana White's over there.
Right.
But, yeah. So as soon as Vince, so then they asked Vince during his CNBC interview, oh, so are you going to be running creative? Which is like, I guess being a director, it's got for layman's terms for people for wrestling. Are you going to be running the programs? And he goes, well, yes and no.
What kind of shit is that?
He said, well, I'm always used to being in the weeds and all that, but no, I'm going to be working at a higher level, so I'm just going to be kind of in the background and all that. Wrestling media heard that shit and said, fuck out of here. You said that last time when it came to Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman. And then you came back and fired both of them. Well,
yeah.
The Monday after Raw, this nigga shows up 20 minutes before the show and he just starts running shit. And the show ends up being the worst show of the fucking year. After Triple H comes out and has a rah-rah speech saying everything's going to be fine and shit, the show was trash. Yeah. Morale's down. That's another yuck. Yeah. Morale's down. Wrestlers are pissed off. Some wrestlers are thinking about getting out their contract. They don't want this nigga in charge. And, yeah.
Somebody did this.
So.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
It's bad. I mean, for a hardcore wrestling fan like myself, that's bad. But for the casuals like you, it don't matter. Because it's not going to make bad. Them.
I still predicted what the hell was going on when I first saw that Cody Rhodes had brought out, or they presented the opportunity for a tag team match against Roman and Solo.
Oh, you're talking about Raw. And, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about Raw. And mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes is like, oh, I got somebody. And then Brock Lesnar come out. And Brock Lesnar just smiling and laughing, hugging up in the ring. And I'm like, y'all show me this script when I was 12 or 13 years old with DX, and you got me wrapped up and intertwined in that shit. You ain't doing this to me as no 33-year-old. I'm too grown for this shit.
You see, now the original plan, because apparently Vince just fucked up the whole plan, because they said that was the plan. Brock Lesnar was going to be his partner, but what was going to happen is that they were going to delay Brock's appearance until the end of the show. Cody was going to come out, and then they're going to show him on the phone calling somebody and shit like that. And then when the match was supposed to happen, Brock was going to come out and everyone's going to be like, oh, shit. And then he was going to turn on Cody, which would have made more sense.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have saw that shit coming. So, but, you know, you literally laid it out there. And I was just like, yeah, this is a Vince McMahon shit. Yeah. And yeah. But like I said, it's bad. I ain't going to be watching. I'm going to still be in tune. I'm going to still like kind of look at little clips here and there. If there's nothing else on, I have it on in the background or whatever. But as long as that nigga's in charge, running creative, I'm cool. I watch AEW. I watch other wrestling. There's other wrestling out there. But it's just, yeah. Yeah. I could go on a whole rant, but that's just a little midget of it.
Sorry, man. Welcome to the casual side. Welcome to the casual side.
It's kind of
it's easy kinda over hard. Here.
It's kind of hard being a casual when you know so much.
It don't matter. I know a lot about the NBAs. Sometimes last year I had to be a casual. It don't matter to me. Shit, you got to protect your mental health.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because I was thinking about this shit. Like, why am I upset about this shit? Like, I was really just angry. I was like angry. But I'm like, why is this bugging me so much? And I'm like, I don't work for these niggas.
This is what I kept telling you and Martin. At the end of the day, this is a young man's game. You let them stress themselves out. I am in it for me. I protect me. Mm-hmm. I look out for me.
Exactly. Yeah, because Vince McMahon takes great pride on literally pissing off the fan base. Yeah. Like, I do not, to this day, I do not understand a promoter that wants to do that. I don't get that. Only in wrestling does that shit happen. Like, wait, what? Why would you want to do that? You know, like, if you do that, that's going to make ramifications and this and that could happen. They said when he was gone, morale was up, the ratings were up, they were making more money, and now they were showing that everything was fine without him. He said he was pretty much old boy from Belly. He was like, I don't like that shit. Yeah, that was so WrestleMania.
All in all, WrestleMania, what are you grading the entire weekend? Would you close this up?
Night one gets a B plus, a solid B plus. Night two gets a C plus. So all around, probably like a B plus.
I'm gonna give it an A.
It could have gotten an A for me. It could have been an A.
I'm gonna give it for the casual. I'm gonna give it an A-. I was entertained throughout. That was one of those manias where it was like, damn, you know, this is so good. I don't watch this shit every single week, so I don't know what the hell be going on. So I protect myself. Roman Reigns still pulled it out. That's fine with me. The matches were very, very well constructed. The entertainment portion of it was well scripted. And of course, you just can't beat the moment of the weekend. When you got Snoop Dogg with the Snoop Dogg WWE belt, the all gold belt with the weed inscripted inside.
And I think it showed up in all blue too. That was the funniest part.
Yeah. From the casual standpoint, I'm gonna give that an A-. It was good. I got to see Compton Divas.
Oh yeah.
It was great.
And if you look at the belt, if you look at the leather of the belt, the inside, it's all blue.
Yeah. Blue with weed leaves. It was great.
Yeah. And apparently they were like, even leading up to WrestleMania, they were literally parading it around to all the celebrities, taking the pictures of it and shit. So like, that was great. That was great marketing. Great spot. Like that's Nick Khan right there. He gets it. So I shout out to him. He's the only one that gets it. Vince McMahon? I don't know. Vince McMahon, Triple H?
Vince McMahon gets it. You just don't give a fuck. That's the difference.
Yeah, that's pretty much it's the – you got to play the Succession theme song.
Exactly.
Yeah. But other than that, that's WrestleMania.
Yeah. We also had some more championships going throughout. Boy, oh boy, the NCAA tournament. My God.
Baby,
I know it's probably a shot you didn't see anything of this, and I will say, if it wasn't for WrestleMania, I would say you completely missed out. God almighty, the men's basketball tournament, one of them games ended in a buzzer beater, which was San Diego State taking over, beating out Florida Atlantic. It was a 72-71, I think. That was amazing just how that even took place, because San Diego State, I think, was down by as much as 13 or 14 at one point, and all of a sudden they just ran back and came back and won that.
Wow.
UConn went and just dominated Miami as they had been doing this entire tournament. Championship game was last night with UConn winning their fifth title since 1999. Mm-hmm. So they're now tied, I think, for third or fourth most in NCAA history on the men's side.
Good for them.
Yeah, UConn just be, man, they be everywhere that you went. And they did it again by double digits. Their entire run this tournament, they won by double digits every single game.
So it was just dominance, pretty much.
Yeah, they were dominant, and which was, again, funny because they were the highest seed at number four. There was no seed higher in this Final Four. So that was amazing to see. Then when you get to the women, man.
Women.
Ah, man, the women restored that feeling. My God, all tournament, it was just wow. I don't know if you heard of Caitlin Clark.
Oh yeah, I kept seeing that name. I saw her highlights. That's a bad woman right there. I don't want to say bad bitch, because I want to be respectful.
Caitlin Clark is special in the Elite Eight against Louisville. She recorded the very first 40-point triple-double in women's tournament history.
Whew, that's a bad girl.
Yeah, she was. She is a baller, and she has Steph Curry range.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I was seeing that. I was seeing her shots. Yeah. I was just like, oh, my God.
She won Wooden, the Wooden Women's Player of the Year this year. Even it was, so they beat South Carolina in the Final Four, 77-73. And South Carolina was the – what seed was South Carolina? They were the number – yeah, they took out the number one seed. And just pure ball dominance. I think she had 31 in that game.
Sheesh.
Yeah, just dismantled them, which then brought the matchup with LSU because LSU went ahead and, if I'm not mistaken, they knocked out Miami. Miami, on the women's and the men's side, they did well. They made it all the way either to the Final Four or all the way to the Elite Eight. So Miami had a good year basketball-wise, but LSU just – LSU was a great program led by Angel Reese. She a hooper. And then they have – I don't know if you've heard this name, if you're familiar with this name, but Flaje Johnson.
Sounds familiar.
Flaje Johnson is a very unique personality because not only is she a freshman hooper baller extraordinaire, she has a recording contract with Roc Nation.
Huh? Really?
She is a rapper.
Is she good?
She is a dope rapper. She was actually on one of these, I forgot what the show was. She got eliminated in the Elite Eight or something like that. So she's crafted. Not only is she crafted, I don't know if you remember this name on Georgia's underground phrase, Camouflage. He was a rapper that was unfortunately murdered in 2003 when he was 21. That's his daughter. I remember him. That's his daughter.
What's her name again?
It is, oh God, I just had it right now. Flaje.
Flaje. Spell it.
F-L-A-U apostrophe J-A-E. Flaje Johnson.
Oh, I see her. Oh, my God. Ha! Wow.
Yeah, when she's not practicing, she got her microphone studio set up in her dorm room, and she's recording.
Wow, she dropped a track during the big – she called a song Big Four. Ha! Yeah. Okay. And yeah, she signed to Roc Nation?
She signed to Roc Nation. Her jersey number is number four. And so it brought up the big matchup, LSU, Iowa.
And that was right before WrestleMania. That was right before WrestleMania.
It was big for many reasons, but you couldn't escape it. I know people don't like to, oh, why are you always got to bring it up about race? You know why we're bringing it up. LSU, the ones that look like Lil Boozy, and then Iowa, the ones that look like Larry Bird. That's what the matchup was, the underlining of it was. And boy, oh boy, even with it being a little bit lopsided in terms of LSU, it's still a great matchup. Still very, very good. And of course, it brought all media attention because Caitlin is a great shit talker. One of the dopest shit talkers I have seen in recent memory in college, whether it's men or women. At one point, there was a girl who Kobe would take Gianna to go watch when she was younger. She's now at Louisville. And in the midst of playing Louisville, she kept trying to bark at Caitlin. And Caitlin looked at her and said, shut the fuck up. You down by 15. Get out of my face.
I saw that shit. She was so irritated by that bitch. She was like, man, shut the fuck up. You down by 15. And I saw that. She was so irritated that was by
the game. That was the game where she scored 41.
Oh.
And then she went ahead and did, well, we know it as the Tony Yayo. But then it was taken to the mainstream by John Cena. And it was the You Can't See Me. And she kept doing it she got praised for it. Well, it came back around and Angel Reese was then talking about this ain't a one-man show. And everybody thought she called her a hoe. And then she was doing a You Can't See Me. Then she started pointing at the finger the same way that Steph Curry and Kobe Bryant once did.
Mm-hmm.
And LSU won their first national championship in school history on the ladies' side. Congratulations.
What's the coach's name again? Because she was crying.
I forget the coach's name.
But she's like fourth of all time or whatever. Because she was so happy when she was crying. I was like, oh, wow. Because you could tell that really just meant a lot to her for winning that.
Right.
So
right.
Good for her.
Absolutely.
Girl, name up. Why do you keep talking?
So then, go and look that up. So then, in terms of what happened next,
Kim McKee, or whatever her name is.
No, I think it's Malkin.
Malkin, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out to her. Then what transpired after that was just a lot of bullshit. And again, that's why you can't escape this race content, because you know what the underlying words were, because they also used it with South Carolina and Dawn Staley when the reporter was asking, how do you feel about the team calling your girls bullies when they just play very strong and they, you know, they're very aggressive. She made it very clear, we ain't bullies. We ain't thugs. We ain't none of that. We just a hardworking team. So they tried and they looked at Angel Reese and they basically gave her that ghetto label that she has been familiar with hearing. And then it sparked the war of the Twitter nationalists and the keyboard fanatics. Oh, this is so outrageous. This is unsportsmanlike. Why would you do that? So
disrespectful.
Had people calling I forgot who was somebody predominant in media.
It was Ball. He called her a piece of shit. That was Ball. There was Barstool.
I'm talking about somebody predominantly in media for years.
Oh, that was Keith Olbermann. Yeah, I saw that.
They called her a fucking idiot, as if we're not talking about young college students.
I like Keith Olbermann. He backed up too. He was like, "Oh, my bad. My bad, I didn't mean it like that." Yeah, you know what the fuck he meant.
Yeah, because once he saw Shaq in his mentions talking about shut the fuck up and leave her alone, that's when he realized,
my bad.
I went too far.
Yeah,
it sparked this whole outrage in terms of what is fair, what's not fair. And to me, you can dish it out like Caitlyn dished it out, you can take it. And to be fair to her, she took it on the chin and she was rocking with it. Like, this is how the game goes. Like, you win some, you lose some, but you live by another day.
And she had to come out and literally say, like, dude, it's a competitive sport. Like, y'all can't be mad at Angel Reese for talking shit. This is what I do, the same stuff. So, because when she did the whole "you can't see me," she's hella dope for that. But when Angel Reese did that, nigger.
Yeah, basically. And then it got so much point that Jill Biden chimed in and was like, I would like to invite the Iowa team too. I would like to host both of them. And it's like, wait a minute, so time out.
No, Joe, you better check your girl. Joe, jump off Joe Beasy. You better check your girl. Yeah. Don't do that.
All teams matter. We're trying to all teams matter.
All teams matter shit is that. And then she backed up and was like, I didn't mean it like that. Joe.
What'd you mean?
Joe, get your girl. Get your girl, Joe.
I didn't mean it like that. You legitimately said both teams should become the player. What do you mean? Like,
it was such a competitive game. I wanted to invite both women teams. No! That's not how this works. That's not how this works, Dr. Jill. I love you. I respect you. But Joe, you better get your girl.
That's all I'm going to say.
And we had a lot to say about Trump and the cheeseburgers, but at least he still had the decency to only order one side of order for one team. You can't be ordering no damn the dollar menu for two teams. Nah, get that shit out of here.
He probably would have, too. That's the funny part.
Come on. You say what you want about Trump. That man is a you either win or you lose.
That's true. Yeah, he called everyone losers except himself. Yeah, that's true.
Damn teams.
Yeah.
But to close out this segment, there was something very magnificent about this. So Angel Reese won. Jordan Hawkins from UConn won. The significance in that is they are cousins.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is, as Angel tweeted out, that's going to be one lit ass cookout this summer. But that wraps up college basketball, which then leads us to the NBA. NBA got some Hall of Famers too that just got announced, led by Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Pau Gasol, and several others. So I want to give another round of applause to all of them.
Man, we in node.
I've been known that.
I know, but still.
Which then goes into the NBA's new CBA deal that they got. And I'm not going to go into detail with all the number stuff, because there's still some information and language that still has to get ironed out that I am not familiar with. Basically, there's some numbers being crunched through. This new CBA deal gets extended through 2029. I know a lot of the owners wanted a hard cap, similar to the NFL. they didn't get it. It's still a soft cap, but there are some language implications that let you know it's going to be a little bit different. But some of the big implements of this new CBA deal. First one is there are now award stipulations.
Award? What?
Players must now play a minimum of 65 games to be eligible for MVP, most improved, all that kind of jazz. I guess. That's their way to counter out with load management. Not necessarily upset with it. More so just looking at the number. Because if you go back and look at history, all the winners from the last two or three years, if not all of them, the majority of them wouldn't even qualify for these numbers. So you just don't want to take away from the fact that if they're putting up these great numbers and extraordinary numbers, you don't want to take away the fact that they missed a game or so and then give it to somebody else that had mediocre numbers in comparison. But we'll see how that transpires, because the NBA did say there's going to be some loopholes that they're going to have to weed out through there. What I don't like is now the all NBA teams are positionless.
What kind of shit is that? That makes no sense. Okay.
It makes absolutely no sense. For those who don't understand, these All-NBA teams used to be one center, two forwards, and two guards. And basically what the reason for that was, you were saying you are the best at your individual position this year. You get rewarded as such. Now, because players and the players union, for whatever reason, decided years ago that they were going to make their money tied into voters, because I don't know if you know this, if I shared this with you, but basically media is in charge of whether or not a player gets max dollars, because it's all tied to whether they go to the All-NBA first team. Why they agreed to that, I have no idea. That's still stupid as fuck to me. So case in point, even if Kyrie Irving were to have one of those magnificent years, let's say hypothetically,
yeah,
if it was in the range of three other point guards, because the media doesn't like Kyrie Irving, guess who likely wouldn't get voted, and guess who would then get screwed out of X amount of dollars that he could potentially sign as a result of not getting an All-NBA team position? I don't know why they gave that power to the media, but they did. They didn't fix it this time around, so it's still stupid to me. But basically, now in a nutshell, you could see both Joel Embiid and Jokic on the same All-NBA first team, as both are centers.
I guess.
I don't like that.
That makes no sense, but whatever. Absolutely. Man. You go do you.
Right. Another thing I don't like, there's no change to the NBA draft eligibility. They still got to be 1 year removed out of high school versus changing it to immediately coming out of high school. I still think that's stupid. If you're old enough to go get to go fight a war when you're 18, you should definitely be able to dribble a basketball. That's how I see it. I'm sticking by it.
Makes sense.
Something that's going to be interesting, there's still no details on this, but they did approve the in-season tournament that starts next basketball season. Again, no information has been released yet as to how that is going to work.
But so what's this in-season tournament? Oh, go on.
So the in-season tournament was what they were talking about, where at some point it's going to be, I guess, all-star-ish.
Okay.
Except instead of an all-star game, there's going to be a tournament.
And it's going to be during the season.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. We're waiting for – I would be okay with it, because how I was once against the play-in. But in seeing how the play-in tournament has now impacted playoff implications, I'm very interested to see how this plays out. So I'm going to give this a chance. The only thing I will say is that the players union, once again, didn't do the best job, because the word floating around once upon a time when this was being presented was, let's give the players $1 million on the winning team per player. And they agreed to this tournament and are now getting $500,000 per player.
So
I think they got shorted out on that. Something that's going to be very interesting, and we're going to see how this plays out, is players can now own minority shares of both NBA and WNBA teams. I think on one hand that's dope, because now they can start planning ahead for their future. On the flip side to it, though, that kind of puts a conflict of interest.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, like how you gonna be balling for one team tonight?
How you gonna be balling for the Lakers one night and then have an invested interest in the Sparks
Right. So no. The sparks make sense, like, because that's not your league. What I'm saying is if you are playing for the Lakers, but you have stake in the Hawks.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that either they would have 1 or 2% stake interest. It wouldn't be anything higher than that. Or they would have an interest that is protected once they officially declare themselves done with the league. So that way they can usher into that. That's the only way I can see it. I don't see how that plans out. But all the language hasn't been fully released. So until that, it's just up in the air in terms of okay, you got to take the news and the headline for what it is. And then finally, I think this is going to be very, very interesting. Players can now be sponsored by gambling and cannabis companies. As long as the states have cleared it as legal, they're good to go. I find it very, very interesting because players like Bradley Beal, who are getting into it with fans because fans are being very, very disrespectful and telling them, you cost me my parlay, to the point, and then berating Bradley Beal to the point where he looks at him and says, I can give a fuck about your betting ticket, and smacks his hat off, and then the dude wants to go cry to the police.
I remember you said that last week. Yeah.
So now this has realms of okay. So what happens when guys are losing bets? Not players, but fans are losing bets, and then they want to form a lawsuit in the same realm of cryptocurrency. Are you now responsible because you promoted this shit? Like, how does this? It doesn't make
sense.
The weed stuff. Yeah, the weed stuff is fine. Like, I get that. There's definitely a market to embrace that and get that going. And obviously, as a result of them being sponsored by anything cannabis related, clearly they can now use cannabis products if the states have legalized it. But this gambling situation is just like, I think we're setting ourselves up for failure here.
I mean, dude, even at WWE wrestling, they're trying to open up gambling for wrestling and shit. So they can that's wild. So not even the wrestlers would know the finish until literally minutes before they go out there. That makes no sense. That can fuck up a whole lot of shit.
That definitely fucks up the product, because how are you gonna, like, you're expecting to do one thing and then minutes later now you gotta, like, okay, so when this happens, we gotta do this real quick. So yeah, it fucks up the flow.
Fucks up everything, man. Now they're owned by Endeavor, owned by UFC, they got sponsorships now. It's a dirty game, but the game's a game. Word to the wire. Yeah.
Right.
I've been saying that a lot. The game is the game, word to the wire. Shit, man.
Yeah, but that covers the new CBA as far as we know. Again, the Hall of Famers have been released out in its entirety. And we are in the final week of the NBA regular season. All the teams will close up the season on Sunday. Games start at 12:30 p.m. and 3:30 p.m., whatever standard time you're located in. And then after that, the play-in tournament goes on between Tuesday and Friday, and then the official playoffs start next weekend. I can't.
So exciting.
In the last 20 games, the Lakers are now 15-5. They are in a position where they're no longer just competing for a play-in. They're in a position where they could get as high as the fifth seed. I said at the beginning of the season, as constructed, they were no better than a ninth seed, but with some moves, they could get it done. They traded for Rui. I said, I like this move. Then they went in and did the overhaul. Got D'Lo, got Vandy, and got Beasley. I said, I like this shit too. The only thing I wasn't sure about was if LeBron went down, how it would look. But they went and they handled the ship. And now they are officially 3 games over .500. In addition to that, they won and beat the Jazz about an hour ago, which means that they will officially end the season at very worst with a... with a 500 record, which means there's no losing season this year. Thank God.
Hey, that's a round of applause.
Yeah, we got something. We got something here.
All you said was at least get to the play-in. That's all you said. That's literally all you said. And they're there. They're above it. So
get to the play-in, and now they're competing for a fifth seed, which means they wouldn't even have to worry about the play-in. So
you don't have to worry about the game. You don't have to stress.
Yeah, by the time the listeners hear this, there's a big game that they got against the Clippers going on. That's basically going to determine if it's fifth or sixth seed. And then they close out the season with Phoenix on Friday, I believe, and then the Jazz on Sunday. And then we'll see how that goes.
We gonna see.
Yep. Well, that was the weekend. That was the weekend sports. If you came in, tuned in, looking for music
or power,
we ain't got nothing for you.
Because we talked about power already. Right.
We got nothing for you, man.
For you. Well, at least Tidal. Nothing. I mean, I'm still processing Larry June's album. I'm still processing a lot of other music. I mean, I watched the Drake and J. Cole shit. That was cool.
I do have one for you. I do have one for you to get prepared for the next podcast. So today is Currency's birthday, and Currency and Jermaine Dupri dropped a nice 7-pack.
Yeah, I've heard. I heard about that. I got to go listen to that.
Yeah, yeah. That's as far as I know. That's the one I've has seen. So I'll have that. Listen to. We'll have a review for that on the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
What an episode! Like I said, it was heavily. It was one as a sports fan. This was that shit.
As a wrestling fan, it was that shit, and I complained. So, on that note, this is episode 293 of the most consistent podcast in yay every year. He lost no sense.
Give me a hell yeah.
You can always follow us on Twitter. Shout out to Mr. Fab. You can follow me, Mr. Buzzbee, at Mr. Buzzbee 4, lowercase 08. You can follow us on Twitter at TheologicalSP. You can always follow us on Instagram at TheologicalSense. And of course, on the Facebook. Yeah, bitch.
Give me a hell yeah.
And on all social media, you can find me at JC
Nohananza.
Like I said, it's getting down to postseason time, so I am heavily invested in that. I got my TV show set, so I'll be talking about the TV. Mandalorian new episode comes out, I'll be talking about that. What else we got? I'm just about to pick up Succession. I gave it a break, so I was like, watch everything. Now I'm about to
You should just watch WWE, man. Keep up with WWE. What goes on behind the scenes? That's some Succession shit. Shit.
You ain't even watching it, so I might want to watch
it. Yeah, I'm not. What the fuck? I'm just letting you know if you want some good TV.
I'm watching the TV show. what else we got? Snowfall's coming to a wrap pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So we got that there. Of course, Power Ghost is in full effect. And we got to give a shout out to Abbott Elementary. Abbott Elementary, they have just, when you talk about casting, it is fantastic casting. Janine's mom, going to be played by Taraji P. Henson.
That's perfect. Oh, that's perfect casting.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that is perfect casting.
Huh. Absolutely. Everybody waited out for the news because they announced it on April Fool's. So everybody was like, no, what? And then Keita came out because she was hosting Saturday Night
SNL,
Live.
Yeah.
And then she was like, no, I know it's April Fool's, but no, we dead serious about this shit. She's going to be there this week.
Nah, man, like what's it called? Like April Fool's Day, I was seeing a lot of fucking fucked up shit, like headlines, like live mixtapes. They announced that they're done, and I replied to them, I know what day it is. You ain't gonna get me. And yep. Who else fucking tried that on me? A lot of people tried some shit, and I just said, I know what day it is. So you ain't gonna fool me, but WWE fooled me on April 1st. They fooled me saying they're gonna do a good job on April 2nd. They lied.
You can't fool a casual. Welcome to this side. And then last but not least, want to tell everybody, if you are celebrating, want to wish everybody a happy Easter this weekend.
Easter's this weekend?
Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so enjoy the time with loved ones. Have a good day. Eat what you need to eat. And if that's not your holiday, if you were as big a sports as we are, again, there's 15 basketball games on Sunday. Enjoy.
Enjoy yourself. And there's more wrestling, just not WWE. Shout out to AEW. Shout out to Tony Khan. And on that note, we are out.
Peace.